The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Ro, it is the 6th of October, and it kind of passed without us talking much about the fact that this is the Gregorian anniversary of the 73 war.
Isn't it extraordinary? I mean, it's been relatively quiet here as well. A lot of focus has rather been on the Ukraine, our president there at the moment, and commemorating Babi Yar yesterday with his Ukrainian counterpart. But yeah, very quiet, the passing of the anniversary of the Yom Kippur War.
Let's get to talk about what we didn't have a chance to talk about earlier this week. And this is the really interesting developments as far as COVID in Israel is concerned. Give us an update. Where are we standing?
Well, according to health professionals, they predict that we are at the end of our fourth wave. And for the first time in months, the amount or the number of serious cases has dipped below the 500 mark. And the numbers are coming down, but also the amount of people getting vaccinated is increasing significantly. We have had many people, of course, having objections to the green passport, protests across the country on Sunday. I was at the gym earlier today. I spoke to somebody, said, you know, it's quite empty. And they said to me, apparently a lot of people don't want to, this business of having to show a green passport. To me, it's just a document. You show it once, everybody's happy. But, you know, each to their own. But thank goodness, we do seem to be having conversations now about opening up to individual travelers from around the world who can prove that they have been vaccinated. So watch the press for that development. But yeah, we are starting to hopefully see the end of the fourth wave.
Wow, Rolien, with some luck, that means I just might be able to visit you sometime soon. It's been way too long. Let's talk about Ron Arad updates.
Well, this is just extraordinary. You know, we spoke just 2 days ago that the Mossad had engaged in this operation to try and see where or what had happened to Ron Arad. Now, yesterday in Al Arabiya and another publication, a London-based publication, they made quite a astounding announcement saying that the Mossad agents, men and women, are alleged to have kidnapped a Iranian general in Syria. Now, there's some confusion. Some reports say a Syrian general, some say an Iranian general in Syria, then took this said general to an undisclosed African country, interrogated him, and then released him as to where the latest whereabouts or the latest information about Ron Arad is. Now, the Iranians are reported to have got wind of this. They followed the operation, how it was managed, how it happened, with interest. And in the same report, it states that the assassination attempt on an Israeli businessman, a billionaire who lives in Cyprus, was a retaliatory attack for alleged Mossad attacks on Iranians or Iranian nuclear reactors. So it's just, I mean, I know that the latest Bond movie is out or due to be released, but really, this is just extraordinary.
Angela Merkel apparently planning on visiting Israel. It must be an interesting legacy that she's going to leave behind in Israel.
Well, I think she has a remarkable legacy. Outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel doing her farewell tour. I mean, she's had quite a fascinating career, a really a remarkable career. A woman with a lot of integrity, very, very admired around the world. But it is her commitment to fighting anti-Semitism that leaves a lasting legacy here in Israel, and also her commitment to strengthening bilateral ties between the two countries. And this is an opportunity for Prime Minister Bennett, who she'll meet with, and President Herzog, who she'll meet with on Sunday, to really thank her for her commitment and for everything that she has done. The ties between Israel and Germany have really, really been strengthened and have grown since the end of the Second World War. A lot of trauma that we have had to get past to really, really move forward. But a huge commitment from Angela Merkel and her administration towards fighting anti-Semitism. And on Sunday, she will be visiting Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem is our national Holocaust memorial and museum. I don't think a leader, a dignitary of any kind comes to Israel without paying their respects. Anybody who really comes to Israel with a sense of curiosity and a sense of understanding the Israeli experience and our narrative goes to Yad Vashem. And just anyone who's a humanist goes to Yad Vashem. But the timing of this is really, really poignant. She has been there before, but I think this is her way of closing her chapter as German Chancellor and very, very symbolic, saying, you know, I will always move forward acknowledging the Germany's responsibility for the genocide of Europe's Jews. But also this is me standing here in Israel and acknowledging the warmth of our ties and our commitment to fighting anti-Semitism. And very, very importantly, as we move forward, Holocaust denial.
So I hear everything that you're saying and I accept everything that you're saying, but one has to also point out that she was responsible for bringing in a million refugees from the Middle East and imported a anti-Semitic problem into Western Europe, which has made it unsafe.
Well, they did, and that's a very, very fair and important point. But I don't think that when leaders open their borders to refugees, I think she saw it as we were responsible for one of the greatest human rights tragedies of all times, if not the greatest human rights tragedy of all time. It would be irresponsible not to open our borders, given the incredibly racist past during the Nazi regime to refugees, without perhaps understanding the veracity of what is involved with not all refugees, but many of the refugees.
Sure, sure. There are a couple of headlines in the Times of Israel that are really interesting this afternoon. One I'd like to throw at you is Microsoft to open 5 new sites in Israel to double the R&D workforce. Raline, they talking about 2,500 more employees. I mean, that is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and it's not unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable that it will create this kind of job opportunities, this kind of employment. But is it really unbelievable, Simon? Because anybody who has half a brain knows that if you want to invest, yeah, and if you want to find where the smart, courageous, chutzpahnit people, the people with the cheek, so to speak, you find them in Israel.
Kind of related to that, because it almost created two Israels. You've had the startup nation, great salaries, and then the people who were left behind. And another story in the Times of Israel this afternoon is Israeli housing prices have nearly doubled in a decade with no signs of slowing. I mean, the bottom line, Rolene, is that if you don't have parents who can afford to buy you a home, you basically don't have a chance of owning a home in Israel today, do you?
Discuss that, because you're absolutely right. You know, Israel is an interesting paradox. As you say, we've got this incredible investment, R&D, startup nation, you know, growing economy. And on the other hand, we've got this disparity. We see issues where we have communities that live below the poverty line, something that, you know, we have to work very hard to fix. I know that there are a lot of organizations, NGOs, trying to improve education in these communities, trying to improve the economic situation there. And then we have this housing, which I look at as a crisis, that the prices are going up and up and up. And it's very difficult to encourage aliyah. It's very difficult to encourage first-time homeowners when the pricing is at times astronomical. You know, many people look at us as Olim and say, why do you rent? Why don't you just buy a property? Because you're coming to a country where the property prices are really, really exorbitant at times.
Yeah, it's just so awful that the Zionist dream is going to be felled by housing prices and forcing young Israelis to go to Berlin, where it is affordable.
Well, it might be affordable, but it's not necessarily friendly. And we've heard reports of horrible anti-Semitism, two incidents in Germany. And I know it sounds ironic. I've just spoken about Angela Merkel's legacy. But speaking of Berlin, we've had UEFA saying they're going to investigate allegations of anti-Semitism at a game between Union Berlin and Maccabi Haifa, where Israeli flags were burnt and participants or fans of Union Berlin shouted Sieg Heil. The good news is one of those people has been identified, and while the details haven't been made public, they have been handed over to the German police and authorities. The other incident, which I'm absolutely horrified, is a German-Israeli a singer went to check in to a hotel. I'll give you the name of the hotel because it has been made public, the Marriott in Leipzig, and the receptionist or whoever was handling check-in behind the counter basically told him, when you pack away your Jewish star, or you cannot check in here. It's horrendous, horrendous discrimination. We have heard that the Marriott are taking this very, very seriously. They're investigating with possible repercussions for that member of staff, but we really, really encourage them to do some kind of anti-Semitism awareness and Holocaust education, that this kind of treatment of guests of Jews in Germany in 2021 is just absolutely unacceptable.
Ro, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. It just is interesting that we were alerted to this issue by Roland yesterday, and I'm going to try and get to speak to Gil on Monday because I would love to hear what he has to say about this issue personally. But thanks as always, Ro. We'll end the week together, you and me, tomorrow.
It's a date and you know it.